later than this normally, but because this subject today is such a, well, a massive one and an incredibly important one, we thought we'd get him on a little earlier for a bit of a longer chat. Welcome back to you, and welcome from the future as well, Morris.
It's always good to be back from the future.
Great to have you. All right, now I did set the scene before, describing your new and indeed bold new trend report showing that half of all children starting kindy this year won't have a chance of getting a job by 2030 if we don't change the way we educate them. Now, that's a slightly alarming finding, Morris. Could you help us explain to us just how you got to that end point?
It is very alarming, and that's not to say because our education or our teachers are bad or our students are silly or any of that. It's because the world they're going into is so vastly different than the world that we're leaving. And we are trying to educate them for a world, a set of skills, industries, jobs, tasks that don't even exist yet. Even with the best of intention and the grandest of futurists, we can still only guess at the sorts of works they're going to be doing. You know, 10 years ago, when I talked about a world where people would be doing a lot of work online, digital, we talked about webmasters and people who would design websites and app developers and robot engineers. It seemed science fiction. It seemed impossible. But yet today, increasingly, people are making very good livings and careers in those spaces.
Okay, so Morris, when you then, because it seems to me that all of the various disparate strands that we discuss over the various weeks all feed in and converge to create this picture of what needs to change to be able to catch up with what will be different in 2030. So do you think that's a fair enough characterisation of what you've done here?
It absolutely is. And the reality is the children that we're talking about, those going into kindergarten, prep, whatever age it is this year, are the ones who are going to dream and invent the world of the future. And we've got to give them the skills for that. Things that they'll be using, as we've said, are so different. And yes, the virtual realities you and I have talked about, the augmented realities, the driverless cars. By the time today's kids finish school, we will have driverless cars on the road. It's not even a question anymore. They will not be all the cars we have, but certainly we'd say 20 to 30% of the cars would easily be driverless. They will not even know what a keyboard or a mouse was. The computers of today will be put back into history, into the annex. It's just very, very different, and we've got to get them ready for it.
And Morris, I mean, AI, as you talk about the augmented reality, the VR as well, but the idea that the computers themselves and the technologies themselves will have reached a point where they're actually doing the things that you are predicting that they are going to be doing at some point soon.
What we'll get to by 2030, we're already well on the road, is that the technology, the computers, the phones that we are all besotted by will be no different from the electricity and the gas of the late 1800s and the early 1900s. In those days, and I wasn't around despite what my kids think, the world was a world where that was a brand new technology. We were turning on light switches. We were so besotted by it. People were scared of it. It was the devil. And today we don't even think about it. We just know it exists and we do things because of it. That's absolutely the world that they will have. It will not be a world about the boxes. It'll be a world of what these boxes in the background will be doing for them.
You also talked about the idea that, yeah, there'll be many jobs which are taken over by technology, essentially, routine jobs, yeah, but that the irony of that is that the new technology will also be the thing that's responsible for creating the new jobs. Now, you've always said that, but it's, I guess, Morris, it's about actually trying to get ready and prepared for that now rather than waiting for 15, 20 years before you start that process.
Well, we have to, because, again, we've got to teach them the skills, we've got to teach them the creativity. We also need to remember that there is an absolute likelihood that many of today's children will not be working routinely 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. As much as the career advice I got was wonderful for me, choose a career and stick to it for life, we can't commit them to the same obligation, because they will have 6 careers and 14 jobs. Australian Bureau of Statistics talks about that possibility. We need to teach them flexibility. We need to make sure that their core, what it is that makes them who they are, what it is that makes them special, the skill set that lives inside of their soul, all of those things are well cemented so that they can then move with the opportunities they find. We have to free them up in many ways. And our system, as wonderful as it was, is not a system that really copes with freedom very well.
No, I guess that sort of makes sense as well. And like you just said there, you said, what, 6 careers, 14 jobs?
According to the ABS, absolutely.
And now, that'll be over a longer lifetime as well,
yes, right, because today's kids will live routinely to 100, and that's without any of the technologies that we're reading about and the things we don't even know yet to do. In Australia, over the last 150 years, we've doubled our average life expectancy, and we've done that without all of these new whiz-bang technologies. So it's relatively easy to say that these children will live comfortably to 100 and beyond. They will obviously need and want to work longer or be active longer to do things. And the families they have will be so different too, because there's a strong likelihood that we will have 4, 5, 6 generations alive at any time. So everything about their world is just so vastly different.
How do you get them prepared, Morris, for careers that have not perhaps even been identified or defined properly as of yet?
So for me, when I talk to educationalists and at schools, it's a matter of giving them the freedom. It's a matter of not saying anymore that you need to find the absolute job that is going to take you through all of your career, but rather find your path. What is it inside of you? Are you science-oriented, maths-oriented, craft-oriented? Do you want to be a tradie? Do you want to be a plumber? What is it that you think might be the first step for you? And then the system has to move away, as much as I get held down about this, the system has to move away from a dogma of just the 3 R's. It's still necessary. We still want them as a foundation, but we can't spend all of our education many years doing that, because much of the 3 R's are now inside of technology. We can lament that, and I do. I don't think it's a wonderful thing. We have to teach them the basics. They have to know that 2 + 2 can't possibly equal 8. They have to know basic grammar. But beyond that, we have to then use the time to do other things. And I talk more about the 3 C's now than I do about the 3 R's.
And what are they, Morris?
So the first of the C's is collaboration, because the reality is that our children today will be working collaboratively in ways that we've not done before. Obviously with physical people around them in their workspace, but also digitally, working with people that they will never ever meet in different time zones, different cultures. They'll need to make sure that they are able to communicate, which is the next of the C's. Now, communicate both in written format, they'll need to communicate verbally, and also remember that all of these digital spaces that we have, the LinkedIns, the Skypes, everything have different languages. When you send something in Twitter, for instance, it's a different format. So all of these forms of communication, they have to be able to express themselves comfortably across.
Yeah. Now, look, a big part of this is not just the, short-sightedness, perhaps, if we can use that word, of the educators and the system, but them actually responding to the desires of the parents as well, Morris, who are often kind of just stuck a bit back in history, yeah? I mean, isn't that the reason why we've had such a return to focus on those simplistic 3R ideas, is because of pressure being put on by older generations of parents?
Well, it is, and the pressure comes from love. I mean, I never see it any other way. What we want for our children is to make sure that the world they inherit and the world that they work in is solid and strong. We can only give them what we know. So we know the system suited us well. And unfortunately, we have created a system that is so set in concrete that we now have to literally jackhammer it and throw it out. I mean, I don't understand exams, and I understand we have to be able to grade students and understand if they have learned and understood. But the notion of every student completing a physical written exam doesn't really make sense anymore, because students now learn in different ways. They're able to show that they have learned in different ways. We need to free up our classroom so that they're able to work in a way that suits them. Now, many schools, many great teachers have already done this. I'm not for a moment advocating anything that hasn't worked before, but it is so different. And yes, when I do nights talking to parents, they rally against it. They just can't see this as being anything but an impossible task.
Well, Morris, I mean, within our own school system, primary-wise here in Cairns, and I'm just talking personally, my own personal experience, they are certainly attempting to bring these things in, you know, coding, robotics, those sorts of ideas. But again, it's just that difficulty of grappling with something which is so nebulous, Morris, and then being able to try and sell that as an idea to a person who doesn't entirely understand what you're talking about.
And again, the reality of the system is set up in such a way that we have to know the outcome before we teach it. And today's world is not about that. Today's world is really about being able to take the journey and allowing the outcome to reveal itself down the track. And that's what the kids are doing when they're coding, when they're doing robotics and other things, is they are inventing, they're creating, which is the third of the C's, creativity. And Our system just doesn't allow it because it tries to push them back into a square. This is the path that you need to follow. This is the set answer. And in order for us to see that you have gained knowledge, you need to show all of those steps and the answer.
And you sometimes, I certainly find it ironic sometimes, Morris, that we tell my children, you know, hours worth of screen time a day, that's it, while at the same time I'm doing 8 hours worth of screen time in my own job right now. Can you imagine what it will be like for them in their job?
Well, screen time I don't think is something that they're going to have in the same way that we have now, because we've talked about mixed reality before. I think they will be seeing a lot of screens, but not the physical ones that we have in front of us. Some of them will be in glasses, some of them in glasses that we wear, some of them will be on walls, some of them will just be information that's floating around. So they're going to have all of that world. But we need also to be careful that I believe in a world where children have access to the digital, whatever that is, and my kids have been brought up that way since DOT. But what we need to do as parents is not to be overly concerned about the technology itself, but teaching our children the same way we always have about how to manage it well. The role of a parent, I think, is to acculturate, is to teach our children what we think is important, how to behave, what the rules are. And the online world is no different. We must teach them how to do all of those things, but not be scared of the online world. Give them enough for them to be able to go in there with confidence, and yes, monitor them ongoing, as we would any child of any age.
Okay, Morris, now let's finish off by just getting a sense of how long we've got to actually make those changes, because there presumably is going to be a point at which it's almost becoming too late for a particular generation to begin heading down a different path, and one which is going to be much more conducive to being prepared for the future.
We have to start. And the schools that I'm working with, the people, the educators that I'm seeing are unfortunately working against a system. Now, again, I don't for a moment think that whoever runs this system has some agenda of stopping it. But because the system is so entrenched, that what we have really are people, individual great teachers, and other people who are working in that space, who are trying to stretch the curriculum so that it fits. So my answer is that we have to start immediately. Great teachers, great schools have done it, but they're working around everything. It's not central, and that's where we need to get to the commons stage, where all of this thinking is central. Our systems, our education, our assessments are all working in the same way, and we don't have a moment to lose.
Fantastic work, Morris. As always, appreciate the chat. We're going to send you back to the future, and I look forward to hearing how well we've done in getting prepared back now.
As do I.
Thanks, Morris. Morris Mislowski there. He is Business Futurist's Eye on the Future and Future Curious Times, his online magazine as well. You just write that into your favourite search engine. I'll guarantee you it comes up as the first link, 26 minutes past 9.